I've got a message this morning, and I'll be frank with you. This message is, I've wrestled over this a little bit. Actually, I've wrestled over this message quite a bit this week. Most of us are aware that this week has been a week of tragic unfolding in the nation that we have. And I actually had begun forming this message before the events of this week occurred. But even in that, that tells me that sometimes I feel like I'm on spot this morning, okay? I'm not saying it in a boastful way, but I'm on spot this morning. I know that. I'm confident of that. But at the same time, I'll just be very transparent with you. I'm in a very uncomfortable spot this morning. Not just being here in the church. I'm not talking about that. But the word that I've got to bring forth. But don't get alarmed. Don't let that alarm you. Don't let it worry you. It's nothing bad going to happen. But I do want to welcome you home to Voice of Praise Worship Center this morning. And I do ask that you will try your best to give me your undivided attention today. Not that you usually don't. But I just want you to pay. Because I think today I may have some of the word that I have to share with you this morning may be some of the most critical word that I have shared with you throughout the entire year of this year, maybe since I've been here at this church. This is a critical word. And I think it's a very relevant word. Let's just go to the scripture. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the world. I'll read that to you again. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to share with you this morning a message that I've entitled, Let's Get Back to the Light. The setting of the scripture takes place during the Feast of the Tabernacle. And I won't go into all of the Feasts of the Tabernacle, but the Feast of the Tabernacle is a Jewish feast. It is, we actually are getting into that season right now on the calendar that the Jews celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle. It's still widely and greatly acknowledged in the Jewish community. Keep in mind, Jesus was a Jew. And the Feast of the Tabernacle is taking place in Jerusalem. Tremendous crowds of people still go into Jerusalem during the Feast of the Tabernacle. A tremendous crowd was in Jerusalem during this Feast of the Tabernacle. They were there it was a celebration. It was a rejoicing. It was acknowledging the Jews' liberation, if you would. It was festive in so many, 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 many ways. It was a jubilant time. History tells us that during these huge gatherings during the Feast of the Tabernacle, there would be a large assembly in the area of what is now known as the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, which sits right in the city of Jerusalem, currently is under Muslim jurisdiction. It's under Muslim control. That's where the Dome of the Rock sits. However, that's the Temple Mount. The Western Wall lies just underneath, if you would, to the Temple Mount. It's still a very sacred place in Jewish and actually in Christian terms. The Temple Mount would be the host location of a large area of people gathering. History tells us that these Temple Mount gatherings and these celebration would last well into the night and into the wee morning hours, probably all night long till the dawning of the next day. And in order, if you could picture this in your mind, and I'm sorry I'm not so eloquent in speech to be able to paint you that picture, but if you would, the Temple Mount is basically a hillside. If you can see this hillside, keep in mind there was no electricity, but the hillside is illuminated with lanterns and torches, people holding torches, people, thousands and thousands, possibly millions of people that are Jews that are illuminating the Temple Mount during this great Feast of the Tabernacle. Bible scholars believe it was during, we know it was during the time, many Bible scholars believe that when Jesus spoke these words that I've read to you from the book of John, that he was assembled at the Temple Mount as a Jew. He was there among all of the festivities and all the lights. Even though it wasn't electrical lights. And in that context, in that assembly, in that atmosphere, is when Jesus speaks the word, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want you to know this morning, when we begin to look at the principle of Jesus as the light of the world, he is the light of the world. I want to remind you this morning, and I don't want you to ever forget that Jesus is God eternal. Yes, he's God the Son, but yet he's God eternal. We're Trinitarian. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three in one. Never forget that Jesus is God eternal. He is God the Son, and he was present in creation. When God said, let us, Jesus was there. So Jesus is establishing himself as God, and he's saying, I am the light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. He was there. You realize that God created light before he created anything else? God was the illuminating God in the burning bush out in the desert wilderness. God was the glowing pillar of fire by night that led the children of Israel through the desert, through the wilderness. God is light. The psalmist said, he is my light and he is my salvation. He's the light of the world. Born at night. Jesus was born at night. He was born at night. And perhaps the reason he was born at night was to dispel and show forth the separating of darkness from the light. He was the bright light that was seen by his disciples on the hillside during his transfiguration, because Jesus became as bright as the sun. He was the light that blinded Saul, the ruthless Pharisee Saul that later became Paul. Jesus was the light that blinded the eyes of Saul on the road to Damascus. He is the light of heaven. The light of heaven, heaven that we've been talking about in life groups for the last several weeks leading up to this week, but he is the light of heaven that where there is no need of a sun or a moon or any type of artificial source of lighting. Jesus is the light of that city. The Bible declares the word of God itself. It is a lamp unto our feet and it is a light to our path, and Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. He is the light. Jesus illuminates darkness. I'm not going to all the trouble because we have to go to several different places, but we can, because this room has no windows other than those that shine through the entry doors, you could cut all the light. This room gets very dark. You could cut all the lights off and it would get very dark. And some of you all may get scared because you get scared in the dark. Okay? But in the instant, even the tiniest, you could just pull out your cell phone and just activate the screen and it would begin to illuminate a section or an area of this room. Because light dispels darkness. Darkness and light cannot exist simultaneously. There's no way. It's impossible. What is darkness? You might ask that question. Well, good, you ask it because I've got an answer for you. Simply put, darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. If you walk into a dark room, if you were walk into this room during the week when the lights are out and you don't like it, it doesn't do any good to stand here. You could walk in this room and you could curse at the darkness. I hate you, darkness. I despise you, darkness. You know what? The darkness will never go away at that. But as soon as you walk over to one of the switches in this room and you flip a switch or you plug in a wire or whichever one of the many sources you choose to, suddenly light comes into the room. And when light comes into the room, guess what? There's no more darkness. There's no more darkness. So, we can curse the darkness all we want to, and I don't mean cuss. I'm talking about speaking against the darkness. But the only course of action is to create some form of light in the area of darkness, and then darkness has to flee. A life lived without a relationship with God is considered to be dark. Because, remember, darkness is the absence of light. If we're not in right relationship with God, then our life is in darkness. Because the source of light, which is God, is absent from us. You say, man, I got lights in my home, Pastor. I got lights here and I got lights there and I got all this. I'm talking in your spiritual walk, in your relationship with God. If you are not relationship with God, then you're in darkness. So am I. If I'm not in right relationship with God, I'm in spiritual darkness. There are three dimensions of darkness that we contend with every single day in our life. Let me say this. This week, we saw darkness manifest in this nation. Now, we see it every day anyway. It's happening around us. But we saw darkness manifest in a tremendous way in our nation this week. We saw, and I don't know how much some of you may not know very much at all about what went on, but there was a modern day John the Baptist of sorts. A man that was uneducated and never attended a college, but he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was impacting colleges. He is considered to be one of the 10 most notable voices in the world today. And his voice was the voice of Christ. His voice was the voice of triumph. His voice was the voice and the message of light. Light dispels darkness. Darkness and light cannot exist together. There's three dimensions of darkness that you and I and every single one of us, this entire world deals with. The first dimension of darkness that we deal with is the dimension of mental or intellectual darkness. Romans chapter 1 says that they profess themselves to be wise and are become fools because they reject God and they walk in darkness. Listen, the fleshly desires of creation will provoke us as people to walk and to abide in darkness. Because when we enter into light, it exposes things in our life. A lot of people don't like, let me just get old time Pentecostal here on you just a minute. A lot of people, they don't like getting close to Jesus because Jesus exposes things in our lives. We really don't like getting full of the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost, then it doesn't identify a whole lot of stuff in our lives. It's easy for us, I can remember when I was younger, I can remember there were tent meetings and there were preachers and there were other prophets that I was scared to go around where they were at because I was afraid of what they would disclose in my life because I know my life wasn't what I was portraying my life to be. Hitler. I don't see much of that type of fear, and I don't want you to be afraid of me or anyone else from that standpoint, but I don't see that type of fear anymore where that we're concerned that something in our life may be revealed. We're comfortable getting used to the dark. I used to play in the woods when I was a boy. And my mama, she'd always say, you know, my only instruction, and I didn't have a cell phone or an air tracker thing on my belt loop or anything like that, and I didn't carry a water bottle with me when I left the house. I did have a Boy Scout canteen for a little while. I just liked wearing it because I wanted to play soldier. Somebody gave it to me. But I would go out and I'd play in the woods, and sometimes I'd hear my mom called me Bud. She'd be hollering for me, Hey, Bud, where are you at? I said, I'm on my, I told you to be home before dark. I said, it's not dark. And it wasn't to me because my eyes had got accustomed to the light. You see, we can get accustomed to the dark. See, the fleshly desire provokes us to walk in darkness and we don't, the flesh does not like being close to light because light reveals the unrighteousness in us as creatures of unrighteousness. So, in other words, it's more comfortable for the carnal flesh to dwell in darkness or at the best to lurk over in the shadows because, understand, shadows is just the edge of where the light starts than to be in the light. Three great questions plague humanity when we're buried in darkness. The first question is, who am I, or what is my identity? Man, is that not a question asked in our society today? The second question is, why am I here, or what is my purpose? The third question is, where am I going, or what is my mission? Over and over again, we see these questions have been illustrated in the form of using a wayward ship. A ship that is lost out on the sea in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the night. There's no stars shining. The cloud cover is overcome. There's no moonlight. It is dark. It is so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. But suddenly a sailor that's sitting high up on the bird's nest of that ship, they look out and they see a glimpse of a small light. I love it. Old Kenny Henson wrote a song about it. He said, and there's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. And suddenly, if we will look through the darkness of night, we will catch a glimpse of the light. But the closer we get to the light, the more darkness is pushed back because they cannot coexist. And we find ourselves guided safely into the shores. The good news is, all the answers to these questions that I just shared with you, who am I, why am I here, and where I'm going, all of these questions are answered in the person of Jesus Christ. Because we are made in His likeness. You don't know what Jesus looks like? He looks something like you. We're made in His likeness. We're made in His image. We're made in His creation. You want to know why you are here? You're here for the sake and for the cause of glorifying Him. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. We are here to glorify God. We're to glorify His presence. You want to know why where you are going, you are going to a place of eternal rest. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not my permanent dwelling. I don't plan on staying here forever. But I've got news for you. If you are, then you're sadly mistaken. Because every single one of us have a day and have a time that is appointed to us. And short of the rapture of the church, every single one of us will meet that day. It doesn't matter how old we've been, how good we've been. It doesn't matter what we've done, what we've accomplished in life, what our last name is, what kind of prefix goes in front of our name or a suffix that follows our name. It doesn't matter about any of that. Every single one of us are going to leave this world someday. And before us, where you're going, only that decision is determined by you. You see, Jesus is that lighthouse. Jesus is the only way that we can find the light that helps us to overcome all the mental and intellectual darkness that is in the world today. The only way that we can move past it. The only way that we can find our identity. The only way that we can find our direction. The only way that we can find out our mission is through and by Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Start here. Start here. The second dimension of darkness that we deal in with the world today is moral darkness. This could be the larger of the three dimensions. Moral darkness. We're living in a society that calls good evil and evil good. We live in a society that scoffs at things of morality while we praise the things of corruption. It just didn't happen overnight. Sometimes it seems like it came on us suddenly, but in reality it didn't. What we live in a day that Isaiah outlined in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, when Isaiah in 5 and 20 wrote, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah's prophecy over the decaying Judah is considered to be a prophetic picture of the last day, of the days that we're living in right now. And we live in a time when nothing is wrong. We live in a time when, according to the world and the society around us, everything is gray. Have you all noticed that the popular color on a lot of the vehicles has become gray? It's really neither black. It's really not white. It's somewhere in between. So I read something just the other day. It says if you mix all the hodgepodge of colors, all the colors that exist together, if you mix them all together, guess what color you come up with? Gray. Gray really has no identity. Now, we note it because we call it a name, but gray has no identity. We live in a world that everything is gray. There's not black and white anymore. There's not, the things that used to be wrong are now right, and the things that used to be right are now wrong. And we live in such a day as Isaiah was prophesying about in Isaiah 5 and 20 when he said, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Let me tell you something. The last thing you want to do is have God say woe to you. Whether you're a nation or whether you're an individual, because when God says woe, it's W-O-E. It's not W-O-A-H. Matt Dillon did W-O-A-H. Woe. Okay? Roy Rogers did woe. You know, your favorite cowboy, Clint Eastwood, did woe. But God says, W-O-E, woe unto you, those who do these things. Let me tell you, we live in a serious time when we accredit the things that are evil and accredit them as being good. We're living in dangerous times. When I go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I've got quite a few verses here to read. I'm going to read the first 8 verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They will be boastful, they will be proud, they will be abusive. They will be disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful. They will be unholy. They will be without love. They will be unforgiving. They will be slanderous. They will be beyond self-control. They will be brutal. They are not lovers of good, but they are treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They are having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And Paul wrote this to his young predecessor. Have nothing to do with such people. Hello. Woo. Mm. For they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. But just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds. Did you catch that? They are men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. We need to be careful who we're letting influence our lives. We need to be careful of what people, what sources, what entities, whatever you want to call it. We need to be careful who we are letting influence our minds. Notice the characteristics. There's selfishness, there's pride, there's greed, there's disrespect to parents, there's lack of self-control, there's tyranny, and there's pleasure. It's all pleasure-driven, which means if it feels good, do it. Does that not sound like 2025 in America? I know y'all want to shout right now. You notice also that these are teachers that are in opposition to this. You will also notice that they have been diagnosed with depraved minds in regards to the faith. You see, we live in a society that not only mental and intellectual darkness is all around us, but moral darkness is all around us. Here's the danger of moral darkness. The danger of moral darkness is what was darkness for us. Remember my story about when I was a kid and I went out to the woods and I'd be playing in the woods and it'd get dark and I wouldn't even know it was really dark. You see, what is abnormal for you and I? What is abnormal for you and I, what you and I behold as used to behold as darkness, but now we've let down our guard and we've compromised and we begin to embrace some things that are, well, that's nearly not as dark as I thought it was, or maybe it's not dark as it used to be, or, well, you know, you gotta admit, preacher, we're living in 2025 now. What happens is the compromise of darkness that you and I make will become normality for the next generation. And when it becomes normality for the next generation, then that next generation will begin to, they will begin to allow more darkness to infiltrate into their generation. And if the Lord stands and the world stands, another generation, and none of us will be here then, but we still should be concerned. The reality of it is the basis of normality continues to change, and it will, and I know we're not supposed to use this word in church, but it will evolve into where there are no longer any moral moral issues. There's no moral standard. There's nothing wrong. Everything is right. And we live and you find yourself in a lawless society. And not just a lawless society, but you find yourself in a society that has removed themselves from the faith and removed themselves from the presence of God. I got to move along here. The third darkness is the work of spiritual darkness. Y'all hold on, I got some deep stuff to throw on you right here, okay? We don't hear as much about it anymore because we've got used to it. Y'all remember when all of the news was about AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome? Y'all remember? How many of y'all heard anything about AIDS lately on the news? You know why? We've got used to it. 5 years ago, it was all about COVID, C-19, COVID, and we still hear some about it, but let's face it, how much are you hearing about COVID-19 now? Guess what? If the Lord tarries, He's coming, and you live 10 more years, I live 10 more years, COVID will be a fading memory. Just a few days ago, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of 9/11. 9/11, one of the most, at least absolutely the most tragic modern day attack that has come on American soil. Some of you all weren't even born on 9/11, and you don't even know what I'm talking about. On 9/11 brought great revival to the local church for about 3 weeks. Our churches were filled. People were coming to church that had never been to church. But then a few weeks, a few months, and now we're 24 years past 9/11. Very few people even give it a thought. You know why? It's because we get used to the dark. We get used to it. Spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness is our enemy. Spiritual darkness. Another term that we used to hear a lot about, and this is where I'm going with this part of this message this morning. We don't hear too much about the New Age movement anymore, do we? You know why we don't hear too much about the New Age movement anymore? Is because we've just become adopted to the New Age movement in our surroundings, even in the church. In the New Age movement, and I don't want to dissect this, just bear with me. I'm not going to be finished by 12. If you got to go, you got to go, okay? But I'm not going to be done by 12. I'll just tell you right now. But the New Age movement, listen, the New Age movement is a blend of three elements. The first element of the New Age movement is pantheism. Pantheism is the belief that everything is God. It believes that nature, the solar system, everything around us is God. Now, I see God in everything, but understand this with me. God is not everything. Or everything is not God, is the way I should state that. God is in everything, but everything is not God. There is a literal movement of people that are worshiping plants. They grow plants in greenhouses for the purpose of worshiping plants. There's people that worship animals. There's people that worship idols. But anything other than God, there's people that worship pleasure. Anything that we worship other than the true and God is idol worship. Pantheism, part of the New Age movement is a belief that God, everything is God. New Age finds strong religious kinship in religions such as Hinduism and Stoicism. And if I get on one of your isms, bless your heart, just know I love you, but you need to get out of your ism, okay? Hollywood. Do Sarah and I watch TV? Yes, we do. Do we go to the movies? Not too often, because I don't like spending $65 for an hour and a half show and a box of popcorn. And we usually share a drink. I'm not preaching that you shouldn't go to movies or you should watch the TV. Don't jump on that bandwagon. Don't throw me under that bus, okay? But Hollywood has subtly infiltrated our minds with pantheism. With films like Star Wars and Avatar and even The Lion King. Now, are you going to go to hell because you watch Star Wars? No, I'm not saying that. But let me tell you, it has affected your thinking. Has it affected my thinking? Avatar, Lion King, whatever we, all these other, it has affected our way of thinking and it has affected what is real to us because some of that stuff has become real in our minds. Very often you can read about serial killers and people that have done hideous crimes, and their hideous crimes have been linked back to experiences they have had because they were playing video games and they thought that video games had become reality to them, and they suddenly think that there's some vigilante warrior and they think that there's someone that has to save the world or take somebody out, and therefore they go out and do hideous deeds that have harmed the lives of somebody else. All that falls under pantheism. We need to be careful of what we put in our minds. Now, I'm old, okay? In comparison to some of you, I'm young, okay? But I was around when the PC became popular, okay? PC, personal computer. There wasn't a laptop. My first one, when I first went to college, took it in college, you had a big old floppy disk and you put one disk in and then you took another disk out, then you put another disk in and you shook it all about and you had a black screen and it had green letters on it and it would beep at you every once in a while if you messed up, okay? And you think, man, that sounds like it's been a long time ago. Let me tell you something. That has been less than 40 years ago. And if you're not 40 yet, that doesn't sound like such a long time ago. But to be frank with you, 40 years is not very long because 40 years is a generation. But the world of information that is fed into our minds right now, whether it's through TV, AI, our computers, my phone, my watch is talking to me right now. People are talking to me about messages that I sent them yesterday that they should have already answered. But the truth of the matter is this stuff is infiltrating our minds. Our minds have, listen, AI is dumbing us down to where we can't even think for ourselves. I used to be a first class speller. I won spelling bees, bless God. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. And now I can't hardly spell my name, and it's only N period R period. You know why? Because the world has dumbed us down. Not only has it dumbed us down with our intelligence, it's dumbed us down in our spiritual walk. The pantheism. Be careful what you put in your mind. The second part of spiritual darkness is found in mysticism. Mysticism is finding a spiritual journey through a deep intellectual meditation that relies on intuition. Mysticism is found in drugs. If you're in this room and you're doing drugs, let me tell you something. I love you. I love you. And I'm not talking about necessary drugs for an ailment. But if you are doing drugs for your mind, if you're doing drugs to alter your way of thinking, whether they're illegal or legal, let me tell you something. It goes back, again, I'm old enough to remember LSD. I remember when people would go on trips, they used to call it. Let me tell you something. It's my altering your mind, it's altering your way of thinking, and it's all a work of darkness. And listen, okay. We getting ready to celebrate 11 years. If y'all still have us in November, I'm 11 years, I've done good, okay? But listen to me. It even comes down to marijuana, alcohol, anything that alters your ability to think and your ability to reason is dark. You need to leave it alone, especially if you're a believer. If you're a Christian, you need to leave it alone. You need to can it. You need to, if you say, man, I'm addicted, go to Jesus. Get some help. Go to a Jesus-oriented counselor. Get you some help. But get rid of the darkness in your life, because it is going to lead you to destruction. And the last thing you want to hear is a woe that is pronounced over you. When the Lord says, woe unto you, I do not even know you. Don't allow darkness to overtake you. Oh, I know y'all want to shout today. So mysticism is found through drugs and mind-altering substance. Mysticism is that common culture again of Hinduism and Buddhism and Samadhi. And while I'm here, let me go ahead and just dive on in. I can't swim a lick, but I'm going to dive in the 8-foot deep into the pool. I'm going to springboard off the diving board. Let me speak to you about one other thing. Don't think yoga is going to bring you into a right relationship with God. If you think a mind over matter function is going to bring you in a right relationship with God, If you think some type of meditation beyond prayer, you think some type of whatever you want to call it, you know, organization is going to bring, if you think going through some type of deal like that is going to bring you into a presence of God, listen to me, you're messed up. I love you, but you're messed up. The only thing that's going to bring you into the presence of God is humbling yourself before Him, falling on your face, saying, God, I need you today more than I need you yesterday. I place myself in the care of your word. I believe your word has everything in it I need. I'm not going to do backward bends, and I'm not going to sit in one position for 2 hours and hum and chant and do all that stuff, because God, I know that you can bring me into your presence. Listen, Jesus brought us the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in us. The Holy Ghost is for us. He's working through us. And God has everything I need. Listen, don't ever be fooled by thinking these rituals and routines and stuff are going to bring you into the presence of God and deliver you from darkness, because they can't. They don't have the means to do it. How do you know they don't, preacher? Because Jesus said, I am the light. The light. I am the light. He is not a light. He is the light. I better go on now. I'm trying to get you out here by 12:30 tomorrow. No, I'm finishing up. My hair's getting messed up here. I can feel. The third part of walking in spiritual darkness is the occult. Let me clarify something here. Most of us think the occult is devil worship, but the occult is much broader, and it spans much wider territory than devil worship. I want you to know that. You see, the occult is derived from the Latin word occultus, which actually means hidden practice that involved attempts to manipulate or to conjure up hidden powers for personal benefit, wisdom, and communicating with the dead and such. Are you ready? Astrology. Witchcraft. There are open doorways to the occult. If you're messing in it, you better get out of it. Okay? Ouija boards. Tarot cards. Wiccan. Reading tea leaves, palm leaves, or anything else you can read. Leave it alone. Secret societies that's going to show you a secret way unto the Lord. Leave it alone. We're talking souls weighed in the balance, people. I'm being hard today, I guess, in some ways. But we're talking souls weighed in the balance. We're talking about people that are engulfed in darkness that need to come to the light. And in order for there to be the light to be present, darkness can't be present at the same time. They can't coexist. You see, there's plenty of darkness. There are multiple avenues. Well, I'm telling you, there's multiple facets of darkness. There's many ways we can find the darkness, but there is only one light, and that light is Jesus. And He is the light that illuminates the world. He's the light that shines through the darkest of night. You see, the occult says that there is no personal God. It says, the occult says that God is whoever you want Him to be. Or whatever you want Him to be. But God shares His glory with nothing or no man. There is only one God. Listen. Lord, is all our bills paid up? This might be our last week getting, this might be my last week getting paid. Let me tell you something. We live in a day here in the Western civilization. We live in that day when we call darkness light, and light is called darkness. Whether you realize it this morning or not, you're considered weird just because you came to church in the American society. You're a bunch of weirdos. Look at the person next to you and say, you're weird. But let me tell you, in this world we live in, we need the light of Jesus more than ever before in our lives. But let me take this a step. Let me take this one step further for you this morning. This is where we've got to get back to the light. We've got to get back to the light. Because God is not a light, but He is the light. There are over 100 verses of scripture that point to God being the light. Light was the first thing that God made, and God, when He made light, He declared, it is good. Light is the power presence among the two evils. The two evils being darkness and light. The power presence is light. Darkness and light. John 1 and 5 establish a well-known fact that it is impossible for darkness to cancel out light. Nobody can ever turn on the dark, but you can turn on a light. And when light appears, darkness disappears. The dark things of this world are never going to bring you into the place you need to be with God. Don't ever be fooled that they will. But you and I have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility as a church because we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be salt. Preservative, and we're called to be light. We're called to illuminate this world. And if the church is as dark as the rest of the world is, that's all around us, and I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about us. If we're as dark as the rest of the world around us, then in essence, we're not light. Because everywhere we go, everywhere you go, as a representative of the kingdom of God, light exists. Are you with me? Light exists. My light's not always perfect. Sometimes I gotta shine it up a little bit. Okay? We have a bunch of lanterns in one of our cupboard shelves at home, and I got them out to use them here a while back. They're electric ones. They're LED lanterns. Super good. Great things. But you know what? The batteries were weak in them. You know what? I had to replace the batteries in every single one of those lanterns. Sometimes you and I need our batteries recharged. We need our batteries replaced. We need a renewal in the Holy Spirit. But if I never put batteries in it at all, it may be a light, but it's not really a light until it illuminates. Okay, y'all. So we live in a world that is searching. We live in a world that is searching. It's looking, and most of the time, the world that we live in has no idea what it's looking for. There's people in this room, and I say this with all manner of love. There's people in this room right now, you are searching, and you have no idea in the world what you're even looking for. You're searching, but you have no clue what you're even looking for. The sad part about is, when you grope around in the dark, don't you just love it when the electricity goes off and you're going around in the dark and you're trying to, and you're grasping for hope, because the reason I know that is when the electricity comes back on, every light in the house is on at 3 a.m. in the morning. But don't you just love it? I had to get up, you know, it's just an old age thing. You had to get up during the middle of the night. Some of y'all get what I'm talking about, you know. But I got up and I was having one of my hot flashes, and you know, and Sarah's snoring, and I get up and I said, man, it is so hot in here. Did she turn the air off? And I'm trying to get over. I don't want to disturb her. And I'm trying to get over there to where the thermometer's at to look to see if the air is on. And what I do, and I get out my phone and I turn the flashlight on my phone so as not to really disturb her. I got it down on low and I'm going over there to see what the air is set on. And you know, but have any of you all ever caught your toe, your little pinky toe, on the bedpost at night? I didn't do that this time, but I have done it before. But you know, the reason that happens is because you're up groping around in the middle of the night. When you're out groping around in the darkness, let me say this to you, if you don't catch anything else, when you grope around in the darkness, bad things are going to happen to you. A whole lot worse than breaking your pinky toe. The darkness holds nothing good for you. It's not my job to find you out. But if what God has given me in my spirit has found you out today, it's because God loves you enough to bring it to your attention that you're not continuing to grope around in the dark and to stub your toe or to fall down the steps and break your neck or whatever else could happen to you in the spiritual sense, if you get my idea. We're groping around. We're looking, but we're never finding. And even believers are following suit with the world. We're attempting to pursue God's presence, but sometimes we're trying to do it in dark ways, to be frank about it. Sometimes we want to pursue God and do it in the wrong way. And all He's called us to do is just to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. He calls us to pray. He calls us to leave the Word. So, for wherever the presence of the true in God is, it's going to be illuminated. It's going to be illuminated with His glory. A number of years ago, and the older folks are going to know who I'm talking about, and some of you younger folks may know as well. A number of years ago, there was three people wrote a song. It was Bill and Gloria Gaither and a lady named Vestal Goodman. Y'all remember Vestal? Y'all remember Vestal? Bill and Gloria Gaither and Vestal Goodman wrote a song. And the lyrics to that song says, God walks the dark hills. Y'all hear my Vestal impersonation? Where did it go? Hit me a D. God walks the dark hills, the highways and byways. He walks everywhere by night and by day. Y'all remember that, don't you? Some of y'all remember that. Hey, let me tell you something, though. As much money as Bill and Gloria and Vestal made on that song, and as good as that, I've sung that song with my late wife many, many times at funerals and things like that in her family. Let me tell you something. God doesn't walk dark hills. Because wherever He is, there's light. Wherever He is, it's full glow. Wherever God is, there's no darkness and no shadow of turning. Wherever God is, everything is shining and shining brightly. So if darkness is overcoming your life, if darkness is overcoming your world, begin to run to Jesus. Begin to find Him and allow Him to work in your life. The fact of the matter is that John described the holy city in Revelation 21 and 23. He said, in this city, there's no need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God gives it the light. The light of God illuminates heaven, as we call it. The glory of God will illuminate your life. The glory of God will change your circumstances of your life. Step back from the darkness. Avoid the darkness. Quit indulging in the darkness and let God work in your life to illuminate it to the fullness. Would you bow your heads? If you're here, I'm not asking you for a public confession. I'm not asking you to say, I've done this, I've done that, I've been here, or whatever. I don't want to hear. I'm not interested in knowing all of that. But if you're here this morning and you have never been saved, you are in darkness because you haven't allowed Jesus to illuminate your life. If you're here and your pursuits and your endeavors to God has been altered by substances, if it's been altered by participation in things that you shouldn't be participating in, if it's been altered by things of witchery and things of occultism, listen, it now is a great time to break free. Now is a great time to get away from it. Today is the day of salvation. This room is illuminated brightly with about 500 or 600 bulbs and chandeliers. There's spotlights across the front. There's can lights up here on the rostrum. But let me tell you something. None of them can compare with the light of Jesus Christ and what He wants to shine into your life. Would you allow Jesus to shine into your life today? I would love to pray with you. I would love to just to encourage you in the light of God's holy word. Can you, will you come today and say, Pastor, I need to step into the light of what God has for me today. Anybody in this room that will do so. Just one person. Just two persons. Just three. God. I tried to nail everything down, but you know, there's one. I don't say something right now. But I didn't nail this one down, but it just came to my mind. But if you're entwined in pornography, you need that darkness broke off your life. Sarah, if you are bound to pornography, you need that broke off your life. Just as much as drugs, alcohol, Ouija boards, seances, astrology, mysticism, occultism, you need that broke off your life. Is there anybody else in this room that said, Pastor, I need some change broken off my life right now? Listen. Count it an honor that God would bring this message to all of us this morning because He cares that much for our soul that we make walk in His light. Any others right now? If I could have some brethren come pray with John. a brother, or some brother. God, today, Lord, as we come into your presence, we love you. And I thank you, Lord, that you have no desire for us to be overwhelmed with darkness. God, when you saw darkness over the face of the deep, Lord, you spoke a word and light came into existence. And you said it was good. Today, Jesus, I pray that light, Lord, will just begin to overcome and overtake lives in this room. Lord, eyes that have grown dim, eyes that have gotten used to the dark. Well, we've got used to the dark in circumstances and situations of life. God, I just pray that your light will be allowed to manifest in their lives. Lord, all the works of darkness will be pushed aside. Addictions, rituals, routines, habits, the things that we have indulged ourselves upon that are, Lord, that do not complement you as the light of the world. God, we push them all back. We push them all aside. And today, Jesus, we just believe that you are working and you are ministering and you are meeting the needs, Lord, in lives today. God, I thank you that you would love us enough to bring us into light. I thank you today that you would love us, that you love us so much to bring us into communion with you. And Jesus, I just pray that today that nobody would be lost in the dark. I pray today that nobody would find themselves groping around in the dark and found themselves eternally injured or severely lost. But I pray, God, that they will make their way to the light and allow you to shine and to work in their lives. Lord, we realize that the world is dark around us. Darkness is manifested in a large way even this last week. But God, we still stand up as the church, the light of the world. A light shining into the darkness. A light that pushes the darkness back, pushes it away. Lord, we choose as the church, as the body of believers, to be the light of the world with Christ shining through us. In Jesus' name we pray. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. God, don't let us call good evil. Don't let us call evil good. Lord, let us be people, black and white, to know the difference. Lord, may our moral compass of your word return. May your spirit convict our hearts. And may we submit ourselves unto you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we worship you.